Hello, and welcome to Unsung Leaders.
This is the show where we give credit to ordinary people for accomplishing extraordinary things. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Unsung Leaders. Today I'm here with three of my colleagues, Sarah Ben, Lisa Nichols, I'm David Donahue, and to my right is Tyler Rose. Before we get into talking about our unsung leaders today, I think it's important to mention a little bit about each of the people up here and how they and themselves have been leaders in the past. Starting with Sarah, I know that Sarah's a senior here at Dickinson. She is actually the vice president, or was the vice president, of her sorority here. Lisa, another senior, is the captain of the soccer team. And Tyler, captain of the lacrosse team. So everyone up here kind of has some leadership experience. And now I'm going to go ahead and let Sarah start by talking a little bit about really who her leader is and what her organization is all about. Sarah?
Okay, thank you, Dave. I'm really excited to talk to you today about Margot Freudenberg, a Holocaust survivor, and she was also the founder of the American Cancer Society's Hope Lodge movement. For those of you who don't know what that is, I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with the Ronald McDonald House. It's sort of the same concept, except for not just the families of children. It's for people who have to travel to get cancer treatments and their families. They can stay in these homes while they're receiving treatment completely free of cost. So that's what my person does.
Okay, and Lisa, what about yours?
My person, John Muir, is often called the father of our national parks. He's a conservationist, and he created the Sierra Club, which helps preserve national parks and helps create national parks. And when he was younger, he spent a lot of time in the Yosemite area in the Sierras, and he used his experiences there to get political influence to create national parks in much of California, kind of to model them after Yellowstone, and he used writing and political activism to do this.
That sounds great, Lisa. Tyler, why don't you tell me a little bit about Wendy Kopp? Is that correct? That's your leader?
Wendy Kopp is correct, and I would love to, Dave. Wendy Kopp is a special case, I feel like. She started this program in her senior year in Princeton when she proposed to Teach for America Foundation and turn into a huge organization through her undergraduate thesis. And this thesis entailed her main goal behind the idea of TFA, Teachers for America, was to distribute highly educated college graduates into low-income urban communities. And I feel like her work has just helped the younger generations of our country to strive.
That sounds great. Now I'm going to go into my leader for a little bit. My leader, as I mentioned before, is Marcy Basso, and she's the founder of Crossing the Finish Line Charity, which is based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Marcy was actually a tax attorney, and unfortunately, in 1999, her husband was diagnosed with testicular cancer. After he finished his first round of chemotherapy, he came to her and said, you know, I feel like I finally crossed the finish line. And this was kind of a statement that stuck with her when shortly after that chemotherapy treatment was completed, the two of them felt like they needed to get away, and her family hosted kind of a beer and beef barbecue fundraiser that raised money for them to go to the Caribbean for 2 weeks. That experience certainly stuck with her for a while, and the year later when her husband finally did pass away from cancer, she decided to quit her job as a tax attorney and start a charity in his name called Crossing the Finish Line. And what that charity does is raises money for members of, or for anyone from Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. Right now it's a regional thing. Anyone from that area who has cancer, and what they try and do is provide a kind of unforgettable experience like she had for that person and their family to go away for a week. So since that time, it's been very successful. And kind of looking at all of our leaders, you know, there's a lot of leadership themes out there, but I think one that we all, talking before the show, thought was very important was taking a risk. And Sarah, if you wanted to talk about that for a little bit, about kind of going out there and taking a risk.
I mean, sure, Dave. She definitely was a risk taker. I mean, she traveled over from Germany. And in the 1950s, she actually worked her way up and became a member of President Eisenhower's People-to-People Ambassador Program. And she traveled to New Zealand, and this is where she actually visited a cancer facility that she was so deeply impressed by, she wanted to start one very similar in the U.S., and that's kind of where she found her inspiration.
In addition, John Muir also was a risk taker because he saw something that he wanted to get done, and there was not very many national parks created before he took the initiative to go out there. So he took a giant risk by trying to get the California Congress to buy into his ideas and his bills and get them passed?
I would think that Wendy took a huge risk in starting this organization from but I do feel like one of her best leadership characteristics is how well she knew herself first before starting the program. And because she did know herself so well, she knew that she could take this risk. And she also had the ability to trust that there were also other people out there in our nation that shared that same vision.
Tyler, that seems like a great point. I mean, in addition to knowing yourself, I think the last thing that you mentioned, that she knew that there had to be other people out there who shared her vision, kind of talks about one leadership quality that's really important, which we had someone talk to us in class about it, Benjamin Akani, talking about envisioning the future. And if you can see that far ahead, then you can lead your organization in the right direction. So I don't know if any of the three of you felt that was a important quality of your leader, but...
That really pertains to my leader, John Muir, because he, when he was a youth and spending time in the Yosemites and the Sierras out in California, he saw the future of how this land, which is being destroyed by sheep and other livestock, could be preserved and could be put towards something that would be beneficial for, you know, everybody to preserve our natural history. And he saw this through, and then he created the Sierra Club, which today that vision is still being put forward, which the Sierra Club operates, you know, different chapters located throughout the U.S., and there's even one in Canada.
Sounds great. Sarah, did you have anything about your leader?
I mean, at the time she started the Hope Lodge movement, there weren't places like that in the United States. And she, you know, it's very expensive. Cancer treatment's very expensive. Traveling to get the best treatment is expensive in itself. And then if the family has to stay at a hotel for an extended period of time while their loved one is receiving this treatment, I mean, most people can't afford that. And I think that by founding this organization, it really helped more people be able to receive treatments that they otherwise wouldn't be able to.
That's great. Something else that I guess time and time again you see when you look at a nonprofit organization such as the four of our leaders were a big part of is, I guess, not just in seeing a vision and that other people would come along with you, but the passion behind that, which is, you know, appealing not to just the hearts of those that you're trying to help, but the hearts of people that you're trying to get to help you help others. So I know from with Marcy Basso, you know, one of the things that she tries to do is she's very involved, and obviously, Sarah, your leader, has a similar organization in that it deals with cancers, but her ability to really just be passionate about the issue and put herself out there and say, hey, I've been in this situation before, you know, I know what it's like to lose a loved one, has really helped her organization grow as quickly as it has. And I don't know, Tyler, if you felt your leader was obviously passionate about teaching.
Oh, without a doubt, she must have been. If it wasn't for her confidence and passion to form this nationwide teaching organization, it would never have came to what it is today. And, you know, when she first started it, there was only, 500 men and women, I think, that were doing it in only 6 low-income urban areas.
Wow.
And now we have, I think it's 17,000 in all over, I think probably in like 30 different cities. So that reward must have just been fantastic for to even keep on going with her passion on the subject.
I mean, yeah, I know we were talking about how passionate all our leaders are. I mean, Margot Freudenberg just turned 100 last year, and she is still active within the National Cancer Society's Hope Lodge movement. She's volunteered for over 60 years, I believe. And since she set up the first Hope Lodge, in last year alone, there were over 17,000 patients, and it probably saved them what would have been approximately $18 million in hotel expenses. So, if you can figure out those figures in your head.
Yeah, that's something that's very extraordinary. I mean, and talking about how old your leader is kind of leads us to one of our next points, which is, you know, carrying on a legacy in your organization and being able to, you know, when you are gone, have your organization carry on. So, Lisa, I don't know, for the Sierra Club, I know that your leader has passed away. Do you feel that he was able to do a good job of keeping his organization alive?
Yes, he definitely was, because, as I said, the Sierra Club has grown since, you know, his death in the early to mid, you know, 1900s. So, if anything, his legacy that he left made the club be able to grow and prosper and, you know, expand to different things. And I think that has something else to do with, because all these leaders, you know, followed the moral leadership guidelines and that leadership challenge talked about. And do you want to talk a little more about that, Dave?
Sure, definitely. I think, you know, through a lot of the lectures and readings we've been doing this semester, we've learned that, you know, and it kind of ties in with the being passionate, but moral leadership really is about, you know, doing the right thing because you want to do the right thing. And looking at the four of our leaders, certainly the organizations that they have found, I certainly seem like they create a huge positive impact in the community. Wouldn't you agree, Tyler?
I would definitely, yes.
I mean, I think the main premise of the Kuz and Posner reading from the Leadership Challenge is that anyone is capable of being a leader. It's just how they go about it that makes them a great one. I mean, I think that's the most important part.
It is. A very interesting quote that I, to touch on that, Sarah, is, you know, everyone, they say, are you born a leader? And, you know, in the Leadership Challenge, they say, of course you're born. Everyone's born. But what we do with what we have before we die is up to us. And I feel like this pertains right back to all of our leaders, because they all made an effort to communicate to the society and did a great job.
I agree, and I also think one of the most important things is this idea of paying it forward. I mean, Margot Freudenberg said that the whole basis for why she did this is because the United States helped her in her time of need, and so she wanted to be able to help its citizens to give back. And I think that the people who she has touched who have been able to stay in these lodges, I mean, definitely probably are inspired by her, and hopefully they would go on to try and do something similar within their own capability for someone else. So.
Absolutely. I mean, looking at all of the leaders, it seems like they would have had opportunities to go and be successful doing something else. You know, Tyler, you talk about Wendy Kopp graduated from, was it Princeton?
Mm-hmm.
Princeton. So certainly, you know, there had to be a lot of doors that were open for her, but choosing to do something to give back to the community says a lot about, you know, moral leadership and, as Sarah just mentioned, paying it forward. Kind of as we're coming to the close here, if people wanted to briefly, you know, for a little less than a minute, talk about your leader and really what you have learned from your leader as some of the leadership qualities they showed. So, Sarah.
I guess the main thing I've probably learned is that you don't necessarily have to be directly affected by something to work for that cause. I mean, from the research I did on Margot Freudenberg, it didn't say anything about any family member, anyone she knew being affected by cancer. It just said that she went to this place in New Zealand and saw what they were doing for these people in, like, a critical point in their fight with the disease. And she, you know, came back to the United States and was determined to start this, and now there are Hope Lodges all over the country. And I just learned that.
Building on that, John Muir, the most important thing I really learned from him was that as a leader, it's really important to convince people around you how important your cause that you're fighting for is and how important it is that they kind of jump on board and, you know, fight for your cause. For example, he found editor of Century Magazine, which at the time was a really influential magazine in the California area, and he got him to see exactly what he was looking at in the, you know, in the Yosemite area and the Sierra areas, and he got him to jump on board and help convince Congress that, you know, national parks needed to grow and spread across this country.
One of the, I guess, the main point that I would take away from Marcy, and I think it's something that we've all touched on, but the ability to take a risk and reminds me of something in class we talked about with Elaine Livis. She said you have to be able to go out there and take a risk. After Marcy's husband passed away, like I mentioned, she was a predominant tax attorney, and she quit her job 2 weeks after his death to start this organization. And there were a lot of people around there saying, you know, we know you've been through a lot, but you know, that's certainly something that maybe you want to think about a little bit more before you go and do that. You know, you have a great job and, you know, a stable living. And for 2 years afterwards, she actually worked out of her home. She wasn't able to take a paycheck, but she just felt there was something that she was very passionate about, so that she took the risk and went out there and did it. Tyler?
I definitely feel like risk-taking is a very predominant factor in becoming a good leader. And along those lines of taking a risk, it comes with courage, confidence, and also passion, because you have to be driven to be able to take this risk. And because my unsung leader, was so passionate about her subject, she just trusted everyone that in her generation felt the same way as her and would rather go teach these lower class citizens really like how to evolve into becoming into the higher class. And because of that, her undergraduate thesis is just turned into something absolutely remarkable. And we have her to thank for it.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. My name is David Donahue.
Lisa Nichols.
Sarah Benton.
And Tyler Rose. Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of Unsung Leaders, brought to you by Professor Heffler's Leadership Class.
And remember, with passion and purpose, we can all make a difference.